This is the Gus Bradley Show.
Gus Bradley Show.
Live from the Hanania Studio.
Davis takes the snap. And he is going to get caught shy of the end zone, and the Jaguars have a terrific goal line stand.
Jaguars head coach Gus Bradley, plus Brian Sexton and former Jaguar Jeff Loggeman are sponsored by EverBank. Wow. The Gus Bradley Show begins right now.
Good evening and welcome to the Gus Bradley Show. It's opening week here on Jaguars Radio. Brian Sexton, Jeff Loggeman, and the head coach of the Jaguars, Gus Bradley. Happy opening week, coach. I mean, there's a buzz. There's a feeling about opening week. And I don't care whether you're a North Dakota State or the Jacksonville Jaguars. It feels the same, doesn't it?
You know what? It is an exciting time of the year. We've been pushing and working towards this opportunity for a couple months now. And to finally have it come is something we're excited about.
You're going to get a chance to watch the opening game tonight? Broncos and Ravens.
Well, you know what? I probably won't get to see much of it. But, you know, just that opening game on a Thursday night, it's the shotgun to the whole season. And shotgun start. And I think our players will probably be watching it and some of the coaches as well, you know, in between meetings.
All right, folks, you can join the head coach here after the show at the Stand United Pep Rally tonight at EverBank Field. It gets going about 6:30. The coach will be out there after the show, David Caldwell, current and former Jaguars players, the Roar, the D-Line. Plus, they'll announce the name of the newborn Jaguar Cup at the Jacksonville Zoo and Gardens. There's this. Tomorrow, Stand United Friday. I mean, and they're going to do that all season long, but there's just this sense, coach, that the start of something big, you know, begins Sunday.
Well,
you know, you began it when you got here,
right.
But it begins. And I'm not talking about one season. I'm talking about the resurgence of this franchise.
Well, it's a tribute to the community, this organization. I was really impressed when I came here on the interview, and then to be a part of it now for the last couple months, you feel that. And I think the city is so deserving to have some success. And we just got to keep in mind that it is a process for us as a coaching staff and as players, and we have to stay true to that. But we appreciate all the support and the enthusiasm that the community has.
We've been besieged with questions all day long about your quarterback. What can you tell us about Blaine Gabbert as of today?
Well, he practiced again today, and he did a nice job. We gave him more reps than he did yesterday, and he felt better through the whole thing. I think it's going to be something that we just have to keep evaluating and see where he's at as far as pain tolerance. There's going to be some pain for him, but that might be there for the next 3-4 weeks. So it can't get any worse. You know, if he does get an injury on that thumb, it probably would have happened if he didn't have the injury. So now it's a pain tolerance deal, and how effective can he be?
How smooth can they be, your offense, as a unit? You know, Mercedes missed practice, you know, kind of don't know where he's going to be at. Justin Blackmon is, serving a suspension.
Right.
What are your expectations out of them?
Well, you know, we expect them to come out and really execute. And to be a machine that comes out and people understand the responsibilities and we can execute. Obviously, we have some new faces on offense and defense. So some things may be pared down, but that's okay because it's, again, back to executing, and that's what we need to do.
You know, I asked Ace Sanders in the locker room today. I said, how different is this from the preseason? How different does it feel? And he got this big smile on his face. He goes, oh, no, you know it's for real now. He goes, and everybody's a whole lot serious.
Yeah. The players take on that. You know, I know for us, for me as a head coach and for our coaching staff, you go into those preseason games, and we're so excited because it's an opportunity to see our guys and how they perform, and it's competitive. And so we go into it with that mindset. But I think the players themselves, they understand, hey, I'm only going to play 15 plays or 20 plays, and now they're gearing up to play a full game, and it is a different mindset.
And the veterans do a great job typically of trying to explain to a lot of the young guys that, hey, look, you know, what you saw in the preseason is not necessarily the level of play that you're going to see on opening day.
Right. You know, when game planning gets involved and teams try to scheme you and you try to scheme them and there's that chess match that takes place, you know, all of a sudden the routes are a little bit crisper, the throws are a little bit cleaner. You know, on defense, the coverage is a little bit tighter. But what a great challenge for us.
And Kansas City comes in here. It is a 1 o'clock kickoff. Of course, you'll hear all of it right here on Jaguars Radio, Coach. And there's a new coaching staff there. And it's a guy that a lot of people know. Andy Reid was the coach in Philadelphia from 1999 through last season. So do you have a pretty good sense of what he'll try to do with Kansas City based on what he's done all these years in Philadelphia? Or is that a great unknown because he's in a new place?
Well, I think there's some unknowns. And, you know, we looked at Philadelphia tape. We looked at San Francisco tape when Alex was there to, you know, have a good feel for what he did well, especially the last year and a half when he did play. And then also last year's tape, because Jamel Charles had 1,500 yards. Obviously, some of the same run scheme is going to be in place. So it's trying to put the picture together, the pieces to the puzzle. And, you know, without going overboard, it still comes back to what we do. And we got to make sure we're, you know, a precise defense and can execute that way.
And what you're going to be doing, I have a big question here because of Mike Mallory, special teams coordinator. You've got a lot of new guys that you've acquired in the last week. How do you try to get them up to speed as quickly as possible? I mean, obviously, defense and offense a little more difficult, but how does Mike get those guys? Because that's going to be your group for special teams.
Right. I think, you know, not to diminish what we do, all OTAs and minicamp and training camp, we say, well, you know, four guys come in, they're going to be on special teams. It's like, well, why do you need all that time? So there is going to be a transition. But fortunately on special teams, it's about running down lanes, getting off blocks, and making plays. Or, you know, coverage-type principles or return-type principles. So there's a lot of just-likes. Now, it might not be exactly what they just went through
in
preseason. Now,
when you say just-likes, that means what you're doing is just like somebody else.
Right.
Maybe,
yeah.
You know,
the terminology might be a little bit different, but maybe the execution of certain techniques are the same. So a player has to go through that transition, and I'm sure we'll see some of those things come up in the game that we have to clarify. But, you know, we're excited about, you know, what these guys have to offer.
355-NFL 1-800-355-6351 with your question for the coach and Jeff here on the Gus Bradley Show. And our broadcast this evening is brought to you by Presentation Resource Incorporated. We'll take this break, come back, and talk about the Jaguars' offense against the Chiefs' defense when we return on the Jaguars Radio Network.
Hey, Jaguars Nation, are you getting your rewards? The Jaguars Rewards Program is back, and it's now open to all Jaguars fans.
He snags it, goes to the end zone, touchdown Jacksonville.
You don't need a credit card to register.
Just sign up and start earning cash back every time you shop online through the Jaguars Rewards website. You'll also get the chance to win some great monthly prizes. And season ticket owners can claim in-stadium rewards to earn credit towards next year's season tickets. To register for your rewards, visit Jaguars.com. Click on the Jaguars Rewards logo and start earning your rewards today.
Bud Light presents NFL Fan Dilemmas.
Should I put these Bud Lights on your tab?
Wait. Jeff's supposed to get this round.
Throws it over the middle, and it's picked off! Down to the 35-yard line, and the home team's back in business here in the third.
But on my rounds, we play better. It's good luck when I buy Jeff's beers. But I don't want to buy Jeff's beers. He wouldn't even give me gum the other day.
Drops back, slips a tackle, moves out of the pocket, has a man open down the sideline, and it is caught for a touchdown! Unbelievable!
Wow, what a shocking turn of events. Absolutely everything going right now. They have all the momentum.
Yeah, just put them on my tab.
It's only weird if it doesn't work. Bud Light, for the NFL fans who do whatever it takes, here we go.
Enjoy responsibly. Anheuser-Busch Bud Light Beer, St. Louis, Missouri.
The Jaguars use an experienced team of scouts to find the best players. At EverBank, you can also have a dedicated team working just as hard for you when it's time to look for a mortgage. Whether it's fixed or adjustable rate, FHA, VA, or jumbo, we'll put our local team of experts on the clock to quickly and efficiently handle every part of your loan so you get a solution that fits your financial situation. Connect with EverBank and their team of experts locally or online at everbank.com/lendingteam. The official bank of the Jacksonville Jaguars, EverBank is an equal housing lender, member FDIC. Welcome back to the Gus Bradley Show. Brian Sexton along with Jeff Loggeman and the head coach, our broadcast crew. You can join us 355-NFL, 1-800-355-6351. Coach, you know, we were talking a little bit about, you know, special teams and the new guys on special teams. You got some new guys that, you know, could potentially be involved in the passing game this week. Stephen Burton, the young receiver that you picked up from Minnesota. And then Clay Harbor and DJ Williams, the tight ends from Philadelphia. And DJ Williams is from Green Bay. What have you seen from these guys on the field this week? And what if you have to play them on Sunday?
Well, the first thing that we saw was they have some skill sets that we really like. We got faster at tight end. We got more athletic at tight end. At wide receiver, I mean, Stephen Burton's, you know, 6'1", 225 pounds or 20 pounds and runs a 4.4. And again, you like his skill set. The transition of them coming in and learning the offense. Can you imagine? It's a high-tempo, no-huddle offense. Not only are they learning the plays, but the hand signals, you know, all those things that go into it, the different blocking combinations. There's a lot into it, but we really like their skill set.
When you get a guy like Burton, Coach, Jeff, you know, obviously you've talked about his measurables now. He's big. He runs well. A, can he catch? And then if he's got the talent, what's it going to take for a young guy like that from West Texas A&M and Long Beach Junior College to get to that level where he's a consistent performer and more than just a guy who gets waived at the end of the cutdown?
Well, I think right now, like I said earlier, we like his skill set. He does have some anxiety right now, if you can imagine. He came from Minnesota to Jacksonville, and his first day of practice was in 93-degree weather, and it was hot. and our tempo is fast. And I think that right away was like a little bit of a shock to him. But, and then put on top of it, trying to learn an offense and learn a position so he's ready to play. So all those things, you know, I think can have a chance to slow him down a little bit as far as, you know, understanding what we're doing. So it's a little bit of a works in progress. But look at his kickoff return on special teams. He returned a touchdown back against Buffalo in the preseason, 105 yards. He has talent, and it's our job to really, you know, develop that talent and get his mind where we need it to be, because he has been a guy that's been on the 53-man roster and then the practice squad and back and forth. And I think if we can eliminate some of these distractions and stuff, we end up with a guy who's got a chance.
And then D.J. Williams, a guy that won the Mackey Award while he was at Arkansas. I mean, these are some guys that they might be able to help you.
Right. And, you know, I think for us, it's if our culture is right and our environment is right, these guys have a chance to perform at a higher level. And maybe other places they performed well. They were the last cut. They're right on the edge. But maybe with our environment and our culture and our coaching and the rest of our team as players helping them, maybe we can elevate their play and get them to where they can add depth to our team.
How do you get them up to speed on that environment, that culture, the way you do things? Did you bring them in one by one, bring them in together?
Well, the first meeting they had after a team meeting, we went out and practiced. After that, then I got them all together and had a team meeting with them and just gave them a background and said, here's our expectations. Here's what we expect. Here's the culture you're coming into. And here's how we're going to operate. And then you need to adjust to that as fast as possible. And they really, you could see in that meeting, they really were bright-eyed and welcoming to it. So they were excited. And, you know, then you need the help of players and coaches. We have, you know, meetings with them in the morning. A lot of times, Jeff, these guys come in here and you say, all right, we brought three or four guys in. They're on practice squad. Let's really concentrate on our efforts on our guys that are going to be playing. Well, it's a little bit different situation. These guys are going to be playing. And so we have to, you know, make sure we get them caught up, but not at the expense of our current players that are going to be playing quite a bit.
If you had to pick one of the guys, the newly acquired guys on defense that intrigues you the most, without trying to slide in the other guys,
right?
Who would that be?
Well, you know, I think it's for different reasons. You know, Winston Guy is a guy that at the safety spot that I'm familiar with. I think he's got he's very talented. Now, as you know, will he be able to pick up all the intricacies of our defense in 3 days? You know, that would be the question. So we are intrigued by him. I think defensively too, you know, you've got some linebackers. You know, JT that we got from JT Thomas that we picked up. We really like his skill set on special teams. We think we got better on special teams because of him.
You know, if I've got his chronology right, you had Chris McCoy for 1 week on your practice squad in Seattle. Does that factor in? I mean, do you look at that when you start talking about guys? Well, I liked this guy back then. Or is it too far away? Or is a week not enough time? Did Chris McCoy strike you as a guy that you remembered from Seattle?
Well, no. He, you know, Dave is really the, you know, who brought him to my attention. And we sat down one afternoon and night and looked at him and watched his tape. And he's intriguing to us. He's not there yet. He's not where he needs to be. But to have an athlete of his size and his speed is somebody that we're intrigued about and really would like to develop.
last 2 years in Canada with the Calgary Stampeders. Were you watching old CFL stuff?
No, we didn't go back that far. But, you know, just really what he did in the preseason. And, you know, you might see like three or four things on tape that jump out at you. You might see 10 or 11 that you say, well, that's pretty average. But you really focus on the things he did well and say, hey, if we can get that out of him more consistently, we may have something.
You know, this league is filled with stories of guys who have been cut and gone somewhere and been cut and then finally found a place where they can flourish. So is it the coaching that makes a big difference for these guys? They finally get with a coach that, you know, that sees what they do. Is it your philosophy that makes a difference for a lot of these guys?
Well, that's always a challenge. And for every story that you develop a guy in your system, there's five that you didn't. But I do know, like, for example, out in Seattle, a guy like Brandon Browner, you know, who was cut from, you know, three or four teams, and then we brought him into Seattle, and we said, all right, here's what we think he can do well. And we tried to develop this, you know, set the style for him at that position to where he would have a chance to be successful. And, he really did well, obviously, making the Pro Bowl. So you can't do that with everybody. At certain positions, they got to fall into the scheme. So you're looking for a scheme fit. But then once you have that individual, you try to utilize them the best you can.
And I was looking at a couple of these different names. JT Thomas, the guy you talked about with the Bears, you know, his first year he ended up on injured reserve because he had a hip injury and had limited exposure after that. I mean, so these are all guys that, I mean, in some cases, hey, an opportunity may be all they need.
Right. And, you know, we're fortunate.
Opportunity and time.
That's right. Bob coached JT, had him in the linebacker meeting room, and really saw him mature over the last couple of years. And I know he felt strongly about him as a guy that, you know, maturity-wise, you know, some of these guys, it takes a couple of years for them to really figure it out. And, you know, they may get cut a couple of times prior to that, but hopefully we have a mature guy that's, you know, ready to handle the pressures of playing in the NFL.
One guy that was not a waiver claim, Will Blackman.
Yes.
Man, you talk about an impact. Last preseason game against Atlanta, had a nice punt return, had an interception. Is he going to be your punt returner this week with A. Sanders having to take over a starting role?
Well, you know, we're looking at that, Jeff, at this point in time. We have a couple options and how we're going to proceed. Ace, obviously, is a viable option. Will is a viable option. You know, even Steven has a chance to return punts. So we just got to, you know, really clarify who's going to be active for us and then make our decisions accordingly.
All right, our broadcast this evening brought to you by Crown Royal Maple. Whiskey started, maple finished. The head coach is in the Hanania studio, and we'll take your calls, questions, and comments. 355-NFL1, 800-355-6351. This is the Gus Bradley Show, and you're listening on Jaguars Radio.
Welcome back to the Hanania Studio. The Gus Bradley Show continues right now.
And welcome back. Brian Sexton, Jeff Loggeman, the head coach. You've got the number 355-NFL1. You mentioned it's hot out there, but whenever you've been asked this week about the heat, advantage, disadvantage, you've said no, you didn't even think about it like that.
No, we, you know, I don't, you know, both teams got to play in it. We've been playing in it all training camp. And really what I want our players to concentrate is on our own execution, not how the other team's going to be affected by heat. Are we going to be affected by heat? You know, all those things that come into possible play. To me, they're distractions. And if our players are thinking about those things, it takes them away from how we're going to execute.
Talk about Jamaal Charles. To me, he is probably the number one factor for the Kansas City Chiefs. Is he that good?
He really is good, Jeff. He, you know, he can run outside. He can cut back. He really tests the defense and how we protect our edges. And I think, you know, play side, you'll see our guys flowing to the ball pretty good. But what he has a chance is to make sure that if you let up at all on the backside and you get a little bit out of position, he has a chance to make it for an explosive play. That's what you see shows up on tape last year, all of his explosive runs. So he will really test our defense. But we made an emphasis on it. Our players are really aware of it. Now it's, again, just to go out and execute.
You know, you said, I think maybe last night, you were talking about the fact that he reminds you of Chris Johnson with that.
Yeah, but Chris Johnson with heart. I mean, that's just me talking because he hits the hole with a lot of courage. And I think that's different from Chris Johnson. But what's impressive is that, I mean, people don't even remember. He tore a knee, just like Adrian Peterson.
Right.
And he came back and he had 1,500 yards, and his career average is almost 6 yards a carry.
Yeah, he really is. It's you know, I know just by coaching Earl Thomas up in Seattle, and Earl and Jamel are really close friends. And I think when we played him in the preseason, you know, I learned from Earl about him, you know, and the type of player. And I think you have him really pegged. Really a strong type runner, really into football, great desire. And we have a lot of respect for him.
And does everything go in the Chiefs' offense right now as Andy Reid is putting his system in place through Jamal? I mean, do they use the run to set everything up?
Well, that's not traditionally Andy. Right. You know, he's more of a, you know, he likes his passing game, but he'll utilize the runner. He's had some success with runners in the past in his system, and I'm sure Jamal is excited about his system. And then, you know, he'll operate real efficient. He'll keep you off guard. He'll, you know, when you think he's going to run, he passes. And when you think he's going to pass, he runs. And so that's the challenging part of it. But, you know, we're just our players are really, really excited about this challenge and what it presents.
I think Paul Posluszny said it right. Lots of hats covering up Jamal Charles.
Yeah, and we need everybody to get to the ball. And, you know, even if our guys don't get to the ball at the point of attack, they got to make sure that they're in position and ready in case it does cut back or in case it does challenge them.
And that's why you talk so much about, you know, you'll talk to us about Jamal Charles, but you were telling us the other night, you talked to your team about their responsibility, their assignment,
yeah,
their job.
Yeah, and, you know, the first day we go through their personnel and, you know, explain the schemes and what teams are trying to do or what we anticipate they're trying to do. And we do show running styles. You know, this is a cutback runner. He likes to cut back in the open field so that our players can have a plan and a tackling plan. But once we get through to that, then it really goes back to, okay, now, what are we going to do, and how are we going to make this work?
The right tackle, the first overall pick, Eric Fisher. There's a lot of talk in between Kansas City fans and Jacksonville fans that are saying, who got the better of the two?
Okay, don't answer that because we got a break for news, but that's a great tease, Loggy. When we come back, we'll talk about Luke Joeckel and Eric Fisher just from a fun perspective about these two guys, one and two. I don't think it's ever happened that the first pick and the second pick have been on the field the same opening day in a draft. So it'll be interesting to see. A little history here. You're listening to the Gus Bradley Show on the Jaguars Radio Network. Well, nobody helps you get ready for game day better than Gate. Snacks, food, drinks, bring plenty, but it's going to be hot on Sunday, and more stop by Gate today. Brian Sexton along with Jeff Loggeman and the head coach of the Jaguars, Gus Bradley. And you mentioned it before the break, Eric Fisher, the number one overall pick, offensive tackle, Central Michigan to Kansas City. And then number two, here comes Luke Joeckel. It's an interesting story.
Who do you like?
You know what? We're very excited about Luke. You know, just watching him in the preseason, I know he was out for a few days there, and he came back and performed well his last game. You know, I don't know how to compare him to Eric. All I can say is we're really, really excited to have Luke.
Luke's a special player because not all big guys have the ability to play with the bend, the knee bend that generates leverage and power for him. He's just got it. He's got that natural ability.
He really does. He's, you know, maturity-wise, off the charts. Strength and to be an explosive player. And the athleticism he shows, really, really athletic player, off the charts. And then to go on top of it, I think in the last 4 or 5 years, he hasn't been injured, knock on wood. But, you know, so a guy that you can really count on and dependable. And when you get all those things together, you're very pleased.
And he could have a stiff test because the Kansas City Chiefs, the real strength of their defense, the two outside linebackers, Justin Houston and Tom Bahaly being my favorite.
Yeah, you know, and when he goes against these guys, again, it's he understands what their strengths are. He understands where they're, you know, where they're effective, but it's still going to come back to Luke and staying within himself and just not trying to get away from what he's comfortable doing.
Do you know? And back in the spring before the draft, as I was reading about these two guys, there was one thing about Luke that really struck me, that he's a twin. And twins are ultra-competitive. They have to fight for attention. They have to fight for food. I know it. I have a twin brother. But I decided right away the thing that I liked the most about him was his competitiveness.
He's very competitive. Very competitive. And very prideful in his job and his work. And if he makes a mistake, you know, we're all going to make mistakes. And they occur on the field. You try to limit them. And the biggest thing you look for a coaching staff is what happens after he makes the mistake. Does he get it corrected? Does he come back and the same move or the same instance when it happens again, does he win, as far as maximizing his ability? So, Luke has all the traits, and there's going to be a learning curve. We understand that with Luke, but we're so pleased we have him.
You know, there was a moment, I think it was the Eagles game, and Tony Boselli, who obviously knows a thing or two about the position, got real excited about Luke, and he turned to Jeff and he goes, "You see him sink his hips there, and that's just so natural. You can't coach that." There are some things that the fans might not notice about an offensive tackle, like the ability to play with knee bend and to play low, that some big guys just can't do, can they?
Right. You know what? And probably here we have a greater appreciation, or we'll grow to have a greater appreciation from Luke because of maybe what has happened in the past, protection-wise and how we're playing up front. And, just to have a guy like that in there along with the other guys in the offensive line has been really good.
Did you ever hear the story, by the way, about the Monday night game here in 1998? They brought an extra camera to isolate Jason Taylor against Tony Boselli, and it was the first time they'd ever isolated a camera on a left tackle in Monday night football history. And so the people in Jacksonville do. When it comes to offensive tackle, they do have a sense of what good is, having seen Tony. And so I think there's an interest level to watch the right tackle, on Sunday against Kansas City.
Well, we're fortunate, too, to have Eugene and Luke, at the tackle spots, because you need to have some athleticism at those positions. And fortunately, both of those guys are pretty athletic.
And Luke's still very young. I mean, he's 21 years old. Holy cow, the sky is right. Certainly going to be high for him.
And that's why we're just trying to keep him in the world right now. And not get too far ahead of ourselves and project what he can be. And we really just want him to concentrate on today and really, really get better today and trust that everything will fall into place.
Everybody wanted to talk about the quarterback. That's what they wanted to know about. And Mercedes is obviously a topic because he didn't practice today. Will Rackley, how is he doing? Because he's going to be an important part of your offensive line going forward.
Well, I give Will a lot of credit. He had a tremendous offseason. When I first got hired and walked in this building, I think he was, if not the first person, one of the first people I saw in this building. And he had a tremendous offseason. And I think when you initially saw the injury, it would have been an injury where you were nervous about losing him for the year. But a credit to him because of his work ethic and his training, he is able to be back this week. And he had a really good practice today. So we anticipate him being in ready to go for us on Sunday.
The communication factor up front is so critical.
It really is.
And when you talk about these guys getting them all on the field at the same time is so
it is. And the offensive line, it is a process for them as well where they got to learn to play with each other and the calls that are made and, having a feel for how they're going to play certain looks. So, I think it's exciting to see. We saw that happen in the preseason with our offensive line. We saw them, right away do okay. But then there was that second, third game where they really kicked it in, and we saw them starting to get movement. And that's what's going to take place as they get a chance to play with each other.
And you want those guys to play well on opening day. If you have Blaine Gabbert out there, guys, you don't want anybody being pushed back in there. All of a sudden that thumb gets tweaked again.
Right. And, Blaine can't worry about that if he is, our quarterback on Sunday. But, I think he has trust and Chad have trust in the offensive line. They've done a really good job up to this point. I don't know what the final stat was when they were in the game as far as how many sacks in the preseason, but it was much improved. And I sense the quarterbacks feel that.
I'm being slightly facetious here, but Brad Meester starts his 14th season, starts his 194th career game, which is far and away a Jaguars record, at 292 pounds against a second-year 346-pound nose guard on his nose. Hey, welcome to season 14, buddy.
Right. You know what? And we talk about Luke. We talk about Eugene. But there's really the heart and soul, of that offensive line. And I know through practices we're real careful to make sure that with Brad that, how many reps he gets each day, he will go and go and go. And, talk about one of the first guys in the building. And to have his spirit and passion at this number of years in the league is incredible.
I was joking around with Brad today. I said, you're so old that this game this weekend, he will actually own the top two consecutive start streaks in franchise history.
We talk about how young he is, not how old
exactly.
He is.
Well, I tell Boselli all the time, I say, your name's on the wall, but that guy's Mr. Jaguar. He'll start it, God willing, he'll start his 200th game in week 7.
Yeah, but he has a record at 92 consecutive starts, and then he got the bicep.
Or Sunday will be 75.
Yeah. And then Sunday's going to be 75, so he's going to have the top two consecutive start records in franchise history.
He is so important to our team as far as his leadership, his personality, and what he brings to our organization. And, you know, he's really the guy that makes it go up front.
I think the only reason people think he looks old is because he's got 6 daughters. I'm just guessing that, though. All right, folks, we'll take a break and come back more with the head coach and Jeff Loggeman and you. 355-NFL, 1-800-355-6351. This is the Gus Bradley Show on Jaguars Radio.
Welcome back to the Hanania Studio. The Gus Bradley Show continues right now.
Don't forget, you can join the Jaguars for the very first Stand United Pep Rally that's going on right now. It started at 6:30. It rolls through till 7:30. When the coach is done here, he's headed upstairs with David Caldwell. There'll be current and former players, the Roar, the D-line. Plus, they'll announce the name of the newborn Jaguar Cub from the Jacksonville Zoo and Gardens. Opening week, folks, this is a great place to be. Coach, I know that you have heard ad nauseum. And by the way, as of Sunday, we stopped talking about what's happened here in the past because it's all new.
Right.
But you've heard about the lack of pressure that this team has had. I think they've averaged 24 sacks since 2007, their last playoff year. Only 20 sacks last season. So my question to you is, do you have to hit the quarterback? Does it have to be a sack for you to get the kind of pressure that you want from your defense?
Well, I think what we look at is, can we affect the quarterback? And, you know, can we get him off the spot? Does he... You know, some quarterbacks, if they can just sit in the pocket and step up and throw, are very effective. They're in the NFL for a reason. So, you know, really what you look at is how effective are they when they're off their original location. So it might be where you flush them out of the pocket, they have to throw on the run. And, you know, that can be just as effective. It's not as glamorous. And, you know, the D-line would prefer to have sacks, obviously, but and the hits on the quarterback. But, you know, sometimes it doesn't work out the way you'd like it. But, you know, if you have a chance to get pressure and affect the quarterback with a hit, that's, you know, that gives you a chance for tips and overthrows and you know, opportunities to get the ball.
And Alex Smith is a guy that, you know, because a lot of quarterbacks, when they get affected, they make mistakes, whether it be errant throws, interceptions, whatever. Alex Smith does not make a lot of those type of mistakes where he's throwing the ball to other people.
Right, and I think it's, you know, partially the style of play. Now, the last year and a half of Alex's playing time at San Francisco, they did a really good job as far as, you know, a lot of quick hitting games, you know, quick game, three-step. And if he did take shots, it might have been max protection. You know, so he made really good decisions. And you saw his numbers, interception numbers drop way down. And Andy's continuing that with him at Kansas City. You know, so it may be where if it is a lot of quick game, what's more important from a defensive lineman is getting their hands up. You know, again, chances to bat the ball down.
You know, a number I've come to appreciate from quarterbacks isn't touchdowns or quarterback rating, it's completion percentage over the years. And he completed last year. You know, he played, what, 12 games, 11, 12 games, and he completed 70% of his passes.
Right. And, you know, just like a defense, it's you might say, well, yeah, but how many long bombs did he throw or long passes? You know, it was all quick hitting stuff. To try to discount, you know, what he's done. And he really is effective. I have a lot of respect for Alex, playing against him for a couple of years up in Seattle, and what he does and how he controls the game and how he manages the game.
How about his weapons that he has in Kansas City? Fasano, the tight end, Dwayne Bowe, a tight end, Donnie Avery. What do you see in those three guys?
Well, Fasano is really shows up on tape. He's a guy that he really trusts. And to have a tight end of his caliber playing that position for Alex to go to, you see Alex doesn't force many balls, but at times he will to him because he trusts him so much. And so he's a guy that we're really aware of where he can be. Bo is, you know, a big, tall, thick, wide receiver that, you know, can be physical. And, you know, that's a new challenge for our corners. We've gone up against speed in the preseason. We've gone up against, you know, taller guys, but to have that combination of size and speed, you know, will be new for us.
And by the way, Fasano, for Jaguars fans, had a pretty good day last December when the Jaguars were in Miami. He had 6 catches for 56 yards, so we've seen what he can do. He is a viable weapon down the field.
Right, he really is. And like you said, he may have, you know, numbers like that, where he has seven catches for 50 yards, or, you know, where it's not seven catches for 120,
right?
You know, but again, effective and critical for him on first and second down.
You betcha. Yep. This is the Gus Bradley Show. We've got more to come here on the Jaguars Radio Network.
These days, everyone is looking for ways to save money. One idea is to get a free rate quote on your car insurance from Geico. You could save 15% or more. It's a wonderful way to save money. And after that, if you're still looking for ways to save, here's another handy tip. To save money on clothing, do like me. Just don't wear any. And you'll also save money on dry cleaning.
For a free rate quote, visit geico.com to see how much you could save. Geico, 15 minutes could save you 15% or more on car insurance.
Hey, Jaguars fans, game day starts with you. Introducing the Everbank On the Prowl sweepstakes. For each Jaguars home game, one lucky fan will win tickets, pregame sideline access, and the chance to lead the Jaguars onto the field. The Jaguars will be hungry on game day and need you to lead them on the prowl. To enter and for official rules, go to everbank.com/prowl. Visit everbank.com/prowl today, because the next Jaguars home game could start with you. No purchase necessary. Everbank is an equal housing lender. Member FDIC.
What could be better than Cape Cod chips? Maybe if you ate them during a Jaguars game. Maybe if you ate them during a Jaguars game and they kick a winning field goal in overtime while you simultaneously win the lottery. Yeah, that might be better.
It's hard to improve upon the hearty crunch and robust potato flavor of a Cape Cod chip. At Cape Cod, chips are always made one small batch at a time, transforming simple, all-natural ingredients into incredibly satisfying potato chips. Cape Cod, home of ridiculously good chips.
We're back in Bob's living room with 2 minutes left on the clock.
All right, let's go, Jags.
Here comes Jackson DeVille, ziplining through the house. Oh, guess we should have removed that window. Third and one. We need to stop here. Buzz Lesney just pulverized that bookcase.
Dude.
Touchdown, Jacksonville.
I gotta get me some tickets.
Your living room will never be as exciting as Everbank Field. Get your tickets now. Call 904-633-2000 or visit jaguars.com. Stand united.
Football season kicks off with the Great American Tailgate at your Southern Ford dealers. Catch game-changing offers on many Ford vehicles, like the tailgating legend F-150. Go long in the quick and nimble Fusion, or become a ground game beast in a fuel sip and escape. Find the Great American Tailgate near you and score the biggest kickoff savings of the season. Visit southernforddealer.com. Hurry, time runs out in these great offers September 9th.
Announcing the $25 period sale at Metro PCS. Unlimited talk, unlimited text with taxes and regulatory fees included. $25 a month, period. Now part two, a new Android phone without the annual contract, $25. And with your new Android phone, you've got unlimited access to Wi-Fi. Unlimited talk and text, $25 a month, period. Plus a new Android phone, no annual contract, $25. The $25 period sale, only at Metro PCS. New activations only and a one-time promotional fee of $10 charge. Limited time offer, sales tax on phones not included. See store at MetroPCS.com for details, pricing, restrictions, FAQ. In terms and conditions of service.
All right, a couple of quick segments here with the head coach. And, you know, Jeff, one of the things we were talking about a few hours ago was that Kansas City was a special teams unit and their specialty units that had a really good August.
Well, and I looked at Gus and looking at their preseason stats, Quentin Demps, talented kick return guy, veteran guy, and then also their third-round pick rookie running back, Nile Davis, both of those guys had kick returns for touchdowns in the preseason.
Yeah, very strong special teams. Dave Tobe is a special teams coach, had a great reputation at Chicago, has brought a lot of the same philosophy to Kansas City. And, you know, their kicker's 9 for 9. They blocked 2 kicks. They returned 2 for touchdowns. Dexter, you know, McCluster's a guy
returner.
Back there as a punt returner who's got a chance to break it. So, you know, all areas of their special teams, they've been real effective.
And they got a pretty good punter, Dustin Colquitt. Made the Pro Bowl last year as a punter.
Yeah, I don't know what the actual number was, 45 inside the 20, something like
that's
that.
That's exactly the number, yeah.
Yeah.
And 40.8 net, which was what Brian Anger had last year. That, you know, we talked about what a good year he had.
Right. So, yeah, good special teams. Again, we felt like we've upgraded our special teams with some of these new additions. So they'll get a chance along with our current guys that are on special teams. So great challenge for them as well.
You know, Kansas City has been a team, I mean, I go back because I'm from that neck of the woods. They've always prided themselves on blocking kicks, you know, back when Albert Lewis was there, yeah, with Kevin Ross. I mean, and
well, they you're going old school, man.
Well, you know what? It's just something they've always done. You know, you got some teams out there that kind of have a personality, and they've always been pretty good on special teams. They had a couple of block kicks in the preseason, didn't they?
Yeah, they did. They
you don't
too.
See a lot of that in the preseason.
Yeah.
So.
Same philosophy as us. If you know, our starters, we ask them to play special teams, and they do the same. And you know, when you take it, make that commitment, you got a chance to be pretty strong.
All right, we'll take a break. Come back one more segment with head coach Gus Bradley. Then he's headed upstairs to the Stand United pep rally. You've got till 7:30 to get a chance to hear from the coach and Dave Caldwell. So make your way down here for that. We'll break and return after this on Jaguars Radio. All right, welcome back. One more segment with head coach Gus Bradley. Opening day, Jaguars and Chiefs. And folks, it's a 1 o'clock kickoff. It means for you along the network, we have Jaguars pregame at 12 noon, followed by kickoff, and then, of course, the postgame shows. For those of you in Jacksonville, we started at 10 a.m. with the Publix tailgate show.
Gus, with all the work that you guys have put in, starting all the way back to January, I mean, the work that you and Dave put in, the work that the players put in, what's the one thing that you anticipate seeing the most on Sunday at 1 o'clock?
Well, great question. You know, I expect us to see us play really hard. I expect us to play fast, and I expect us to be a unit that plays with tremendous enthusiasm. And we saw it grow in preseason. We saw, you know, where guys were truly excited, and I think it's so important to have spirit. And spirit doesn't mean jumping up and down and throwing your helmet off, but just where you're really, truly excited to play the game. And we have players that have that spirit. I really like our team as far as how, you know, interested they are in football, their love for the game, their enthusiasm. And it's my hope that they get a chance to demonstrate that.
And, Coach, anyone who's listened to you knows that you don't make this all about you. But just for a second. What's it going to be like for you to go out there as a head coach? Because you've been in the game your whole life,
right,
and you're a head coach in the NFL and it's opening day. For Gus Bradley personally, is that going to be an exciting, a satisfying moment?
No, you know what? It's going to be really, really exciting. And I'll tell you why. I'm so excited for our players to have them go out. And I'm excited for Cecil Shorts. I'm excited for Brad Meester. I'm excited for Mojo. I mean, for Dwight Lowry, I mean, all those guys, for all the hard work they put in. I'm excited for Clay Harbor, you know, yeah, just to see these guys. They've come from all different walks of life and gone through all sorts of things, and they get an opportunity to go demonstrate on the field. How can't you be excited for them?
One of the guys I'm looking forward to the most is Jed Fish's offense because, I mean, to me, that's really an art form. Is being a play caller on game day.
Yeah, he's very good. I will say that. What I love about Jed Fish is that he can adjust. You know, he's not hard set. This is what we're going to do because this has been my system for years, and if the players can't execute, it's their fault. That is not his personality. His personality is more, you know what, we've got styles of offense. Let's best utilize our players' strengths, and he will adjust and adapt. And, you know, that's why the players really respect him. And because he knows he's going to do everything he can along with the offensive staff to put him in position.
And I don't want to short Bob Babbage because, you know, the impression outside of the building here, a lot of people say, well, Gus Bradley's running the defense. But Bob's running the defense.
Yeah, he's done a great job, the whole defensive staff. You know what? And that's why you hire him. And they pay attention to detail. They're meticulous. They spend hours on the defensive side. And a lot of times that does go unnoticed. But that's okay with them. You know, the players have really gravitated towards them. And, you know, if they have questions, I'm there to help or give at least my view. But it really comes back to, you know, they've studied the film even longer than I have. And, you know, you just trust them so much that you know it's going to be beneficial.
You know, I've been out in the community. I've done a lot of speaking engagements this week with opening week. And to a lot of people, it feels like Christmas. The NFL season is back.
That's right.
Best of luck this week, Coach. I know you put a lot of work into it.
Thank you very much.
That's head coach Gus Bradley every Thursday at 6 o'clock Eastern Time right here on the Jaguars Radio Network. For those of you in Jacksonville, stay tuned. For everyone else, we'll talk to you on Sunday.